Hello, fellow Rebel Capitalists. Hope you're well. Wanted to go over a video from a Canadian politician that is just going to absolutely blow your mind. It takes gaslighting to a whole new level. They want to censor misinformation about the World Economic Forum and Klaus Schwab. Convenient, isn't it? The useful idiots are at large, and they are really trying to, well, maybe not they're trying, they're inadvertently trying to just push this narrative and do the bidding of the global elite. But I find it extremely fascinating, the psychology behind this. So that's what I really want to dive into with this video. So let's go over to our locals page. If you guys haven't seen that, you can check it out. Josh, my famous research assistant extraordinaire, is running our locals page, and we just set it up maybe, I don't know, a week ago, a couple weeks ago, something like that. And you can join it for free, or there's also, we're going to do some exclusive content that's behind a paywall for like $5 a month or something like that. And where Josh is going to be outlining the whiteboard videos, doing like deep dives on the whiteboard videos for you guys, explaining them further. And then I'm going to go on there maybe once, twice a week and do live streams with content that I can't really discuss on YouTube for obvious reasons. It's one of the benefits of locals is they don't censor anything, at least not so far. And I've talked to the guys extensively, and I'm pretty confident that it's going to be like this for quite some time. So it just gives me a place where I don't have to worry about being banned, quite frankly. And I can talk about things without having to censor what I'm saying, like self-censorship. I don't have to say cerveza sickness or medicine mandates or who knows what it'll be in the future with YouTube. But I can actually speak freely here on Locals. So anyway, yeah, check it out. It's rebelcapitalist.locals.com. And we're going to be just doing a ton of content and a ton of exclusive content for the people who subscribe to the premium deal there. And Josh is doing an incredible job. And he's going to do, he's just got amazing plans for the future with the Rebel Capitals page on Locals. So check that out. Okay. Getting back to this gal, and it's, I say politicians, because if you watch it till the end of this video, you see a lot of the politicians chime in and kind of agree with what she's saying. So this, just to kind of tee it up for you guys, she was talking about this bill that was being proposed in Canada called S233. Now, I actually went and looked at the bill myself, doing research, imagine that. And this, I guess, is what they call the first reading. Now, I'm not sure how it works in Canada at all, so you'll have to forgive me, Canadians watching this. I would assume the second reading maybe is a little bit more extensive, has a little bit more meat on the bone. But this first reading, this is maybe I thought this was like a summary page, but this is pretty much, I know it says summary here, but they kind of get into it. I think this is it. This is what I could find just with a quick Google search. So basically, it's just UBI. That's all it is. It's UBI for everyone above the age of 17. And I couldn't really see any, you know, restrictions, limitations, which this gal mentions in her video, or that people are concerned with, that they have emailed her and she is saying is misinformation and disinformation. No details here other than just basically UBI for everyone in Canada over 17 years old. So then what this gal does, and I would strongly suggest going to our locals page and watching the entire video. And this was posted, by the way, from one of our members. It's at JP1982. So at JP1982, thank you very much. I appreciate you sharing this intel with us from Canada. And so what she's doing is she starts off by saying that there's all of this misinformation around the bill, and people are emailing her these crazy conspiracy theories that universal basic income will somehow lead to a central bank digital currency, and this central bank digital currency could potentially lead to a Chinese social score, and that they make in the and that you know, this UBI could be tied with your medicine status. You guys know what I'm talking about. And she's just saying that this is complete fake news. This is the problem with social media right now. And that this is, she goes on and later on to say that this is most likely coming from, you know, Russian bots or whatever that are influencing Twitter and, you know, sending her all of these emails and all of this hate mail. And, you know, that claiming that she is somehow under the influence of the World Economic Forum or the politicians or Trudeau, you know, that this is all just complete disinformation. And this is the problem with the world today. And that this is why the people don't trust the politicians. And if they don't trust the politicians, then this is threatening democracy in and of itself. And that's why we need to really encourage the social media platforms to censor more of this quote unquote disinformation. That's pretty much the premise of what she's saying. Now, I'm going to play a clip, maybe 2-3 minutes. One of the first things I want you to notice here is she tells a story about how this person is irrationally fearing things that this bill has nothing to do with. And this person is, I think she calls her Missy, is worrying about this replacing their existing social net or something like that. Or she's worrying about this leading to a social credit score through a central bank digital currency. And these fears are completely unfounded, because if you actually read the bill, nothing in the bill talks about a central bank digital currency. Nothing in this bill talks about a Chinese social score. Nothing in this bill talks about Klaus Schwab or the World Economic Forum. So what are you talking about? This is all just, you know, Russian bots that we need to censor because it's threatening democracy, like we were saying earlier. So I don't want to highlight her video just to kind of throw her under the bus and poke fun at her. I mean, it's obviously very easy to do that, but I really want to try to understand her. Where is she coming from? Like how psychologically, how do you get to where she is? That's what interests me. Because you can tell this gal's not, I think she has very good intentions. She seems like a very nice lady, but I'm just trying to figure out how she gets to her mental state of origin. Like how did she build the framework that she has for viewing the world? And how can it be so disconnected from, and I don't want to say reality, because I by no means have a monopoly on what is true, what is untrue, what is fact, what is a lie, but through doing as much research as I can, I think I've got a bit of an idea on certain probabilities of things being true. And I would never say that there's a certainty, that as we know, there's only probabilities. And, you know, is there a 100% certainty that Klaus wants, you know, his objectives are what I think they are, which is basically to reduce consumption of energy, decrease birth rate, and usurp power and control. Is that a 100% guarantee? No, absolutely not. There are no really, other than death and taxes, right? So we're talking about probabilities. I just think that in the more research I do, the higher the probability in my mind. I know there's a lot of people that are like that. In fact, I'll tell you that, you know, you guys know from probably watching my whiteboard videos, that when I first started the whiteboard videos, I was talking about a central bank digital currency, and I was talking about this thing. That seemed crystal clear to me, just coming from a framework of politicians always trying to gain power and control, and, you know, understanding it from an economic standpoint, understanding how the Fed's balance sheet works and the banking system and the Treasury. And I'm like, you know, this is a no-brainer for these politicians, a central bank digital currency. It doesn't sound like too much of a stretch right now because everyone's talking about it. You got to remember, back in 2019, people were calling me a tinfoil hatter for that. People were calling me a conspiracy. In fact, this gal, most likely, I'm sure she would have seen one of my videos, would have said that that was complete disinformation. We're not, governments aren't talking about a central bank digital currency. That would have, how insane. But yet, 2 years later, here we are, everyone's talking about it. So this is one of the her disconnects is she can't really differentiate what is happening now to what this may lead to in the future. Also, what I find really unbelievable is, and you'll notice in this first clip that I play, she talks about how this Missy person is living in a state of irrational fear. I don't know if that, I might be paraphrasing there. But you'll notice, especially when this girl, this gal, Senator Simons, okay. You'll notice when Senator Simons turns to the side, she is not only wearing a mask, but it's like a triple layered mask where there's actually, like, from what I can tell, like a gap between the first mask and like the second layer. And you'll notice it's going so high, it's up almost over her eyeballs. And then when she turns to the side, it's like a chin strap where it goes all the way down here like this and all the way up over to her eyebrows and through her eyeballs. Like she can only see like half, like it's cutting off half of her eye. While at the same time, she's talking about other people having irrational fear due to misinformation. Like I was telling Josh prior to this video, I said, did this lady not look in the mirror? Like how could you accuse other people of living in irrational fear where you are no more? I mean, they'll zoom out. That gal behind her is probably the closest person. I mean, no one else is within 20 feet of this gal. And the fact that she is wearing that type of mask, and I'm assuming this was recent, you know, maybe not. I mean, maybe I probably should have looked there. Maybe this was back in, I don't know, maybe this was the end of 2020, which might explain it a little bit better. But I don't know. This was shared with us April 16th. So maybe you guys can look that up in the chat. Or Josh, maybe you can look that up really quick to see when she read this. But regardless, as we know now, you know, the mask mandates themselves don't work at all. And they do very little unless you're, and I guess to her benefit, I guess that mask would actually do a lot. The paper mask that they give you, that they make you wear, don't really do anything. But if there is a mask that's going to do something, it's probably this one. But why not just wear a hazmat suit? I mean, for heaven's sakes. But assuming that this is more recent, where, you know, we know that the most recent scariant is very, very mild. And that's what's most likely going to be with us for a long, long time into the future. And again, no certainties, only probabilities. But if there is anyone that is living in a state of irrational fear due to misinformation, it's Senator Simons. But yet she doesn't even know that. So the question that's so fascinating for me is how? How does she not know that? How do you get to that mental state? And I actually wrote down a bunch of notes here trying to think it through. And I think it starts with her just not doing any research herself. Because when she's talking about the World Economic Forum, she's talking about, you know, all these conspiracy theories that Justin Trudeau is somehow influenced by Klaus Schwab. It's like, Senator Simons, have you not, like, listened to what Klaus says this? Klaus, in fact, Justin Trudeau is part of the World Economic Forum's Young Leader Program. Or at least he was. I think Senator Simons is one of these people that just never does any research, never does really any homework. And I don't even think she knows that Trudeau is part of that program, nor do I think she knows that Klaus has come out and admitted that, yes, we have people in government here and here and here and here, and they're in our program and we influence them. He said that on several interviews. So it's like people are emailing her saying that blah, 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 and she hasn't done the research, so she's just coming to the conclusion that, oh, this is a conspiracy theory. And I just, it's shocking. But let's listen to some of the things she's saying here.
While Canadian citizens, especially seniors and those with disabilities, are being subjected to a relentless campaign of online psychological terrorism. I have tried to use Twitter and Facebook to dispel the myths about this bill. I have tried to answer letters from people who just seem honestly confused. One woman I'll call Missy was so frightened by what she'd heard about Bill S-233, she told me she was thinking of leaving Canada. After I explained what S-233 actually said, she thanked me. "You have truly helped me," she wrote back. "I will do my best to spread what you have told me. It's scary how convincing this can be. I admit I fell for it and fed into it at times." She added, "It's scary to live in fear every day."
Did you hear that, guys? She's saying how Missy is, it's just so unfortunate that Missy has fell victim to this misinformation, and that Missy is saying it's scary living in fear every day. And look at her mask. I mean, it just, wow.
And that, of course, is the point of this whole disinformation campaign, to create fear and distrust, to keep people scared and vulnerable, and to erode our social contract.
See that, you hear that, guys? That's the whole reason they're doing this, is to create fear and mistrust. And again, this coming from a person who is so irrationally afraid of the recent scariant that she's wearing a triple layered mask.
Contract and social fabric, our confidence in our fellow Canadians, replacing it with suspicion bordering on paranoia.
Oh, you get that, guys? Suspicion bordering on paranoia. Look at this mask. It's going over her eyeballs and up to her eyebrows. And she's talking about other people that are falling victim to misinformation to the point where they're living in paranoia. Just unbelievable.
The purpose of this strategy isn't to defeat S-233, which has only the smallest chance of becoming law anyway. No, it's to whip up a hysterical frenzy to convince ordinary Canadians, decent, caring Canadians like Missy, that their political leaders and their political institutions are not to be trusted. And then to trick and con ordinary caring people, just like Missy, into sharing this fake information with their families, their faith communities, or their friends on Facebook. Rebutting these insidious campaigns is not easy. Although I did connect with Missy, I had less luck with a more recent correspondent. She wrote to me this weekend that she could not sleep over her fears that Canadian seniors would lose their pensions. When I tried to explain that S-233 just wouldn't do that, she accused me of gaslighting her and demanded that I never contact her again.
So here is where I want to kind of pause. Again, I don't think this gal is just evil and trying to carry out Klaus's plan. And I don't think that at all. I mean, she's, in my opinion, she's a useful idiot that just, in using that, the Lenin terms, I'm not trying to disparage her. And so I tried to write down, and I'm going to read my notes for you guys here so I can organize my thoughts, because to get to this state, I think it is very psychologically complex, and it requires that you do certain things, and it requires that you not do other things, such as research. But I kind of wrote it as though it's almost like that doom vortex that I do for the whiteboard videos, where one thing leads to another thing, leads to another thing, leads to another thing, which exacerbates the first thing, or like a feedback loop. I guess that's the proper way of saying it. So I think it starts with politicians like this gal. I think she truly believes that governments globally are benevolent, and that they're just there trying to do the will of the people, and they're just trying to make things better. This would come if you never studied history. So like one of the questions I would have for Senator Simons is, how does she think, we'll call it Germany in the 1930s or the early 1940s, how did it get to that point? Like, that process happened gradually. How did we get to a point in Australia where they're using these quarantine camps? Hopefully they're not doing it anymore. But they were using these quarantine camps, going to that extreme, making it to where people couldn't go within 100 yards of their house. How did they get to that point? Well, that didn't happen overnight. That wasn't just a result of the Cerveza sickness. They had been taking these gradual steps that may have been benevolent. And the road to hell is paved with good intentions. But if you don't study history, you don't understand that by the government taking one step that could be in the name of health and safety, it could be taking a step closer to tyranny. And if you study history, that happens more often than you would think. In fact, that's the most probable outcome. But if you do study history, you realize that, although, sure, Senator Simons, your bill, or the universal basic income bill that I think maybe someone else brought it up, the intentions could be to help the poor and the elderly and the handicapped and whatnot, but the results will be something entirely different. And the results could put us on this path to where government obviously has a lot more power and control. Now, Senator Simons might not try to leverage that power and control, but you don't think Justin Trudeau will? Or, and let's just say Justin Trudeau is a saint and we've just misrepresented him. You don't think that someone else in the future will do that? You see, how did this the dictator in Italy or in Germany, could they have done what they did if the government didn't have a tremendous amount of power and control to begin with? You see, this is what Senator Simons really doesn't understand. And so I think the starting point here is she has this belief that government as a whole is benevolent. And you have to combine that with never studying history, just being completely oblivious. Hey guys, I want to remind you to check out Rebel Capitalist Pro. This is the incredible online investment forum that I have with investment experts Lynn Alden and Chris McIntosh. It includes professionals such as Patrick Serezna from Macro Voices. He specializes in options. Tony Greer, commodity trading. Jason Hartman, real estate. And Brent Johnson with macroeconomics. If you want to build wealth and thrive in this world of out-of-control central banks and big governments, Rebel Capitalist Pro is the resource you need. So check it out today at georgegammon.com/pro. That's georgegammon.com/pro. We'll see you inside with the fellow Rebel Capitalists that are taking their investing to the next level. I don't think it ends there. Because then I think she has to also be completely oblivious to economics, or else she wouldn't think that the central bank digital currency was a conspiracy theory. And I didn't play this clip for you, but one of the emails that she said is very conspiratorial is this email where the person was suggesting that this universal basic income could lead to a central bank digital currency, and that central bank digital currency could lead to a social credit score, and then the government could basically pick winners and losers. And if you didn't do something they like, they could just cut off your income. They could cut off your universal basic income. And if you give this to society, they will become more and more dependent upon it, therefore more and more dependent on the government. And she thought this was just a complete conspiracy, that this is never going to happen because this isn't the intention of the bill. She keeps going back saying, guys, the intention of the bill is to help the poor. The intention of the bill is not to give the government more control to where they can micromanage your life in the future. It's like a childish disconnect between reality and fantasy. It's like this childish naivete that whatever the intention of the bill is, well, that's what's going to happen. I mean, this is what we want it to do. Never understanding that usually when governments come out with laws, the unintended consequences are so great that the actual result in practice has very little to do with the initial intention, even if you assume the initial intention was morally sound, let's say. Another thing, in order to have this type of framework, I think, is she has to be completely, I don't know what the right word is, not ignorant, but You know, I always called it selective amnesia, where like a cognitive dissonance, where we rationalize certain things and we have this selective amnesia where we forget things that just kind of don't fit our narrative. I think it's human nature. I mean, I have fallen victim to that, just like I'm sure everyone else has on this live stream. It's just I try to keep it in check as much as I can, because I know that's a tendency that human beings have. But in order to come to this conclusion, she would have to completely have a lot of, she would have to completely omit the last 2 years of what we've dealt with, not just in the United States, but obviously in Canada for sure. My goodness. And I mean, if you look at what has happened in Canada and in the United States and Australia and other places, how could you come to the conclusion that all of this misinformation is inaccurate? Or how could you come to the conclusion that, yes, I can trust the government implicitly? There's no way you could. Why do I say that? Because you guys know from watching my videos that almost every single thing that has been labeled misinformation or a conspiracy theory since 2020 has turned out to be true. I mean, go back to the first video I did on the cerveza sickness. This was January 2020. And I was talking about how, you know, it could bring on a police state. And I was talking about, you know, how the cerveza sickness could spread very quickly and things could shut down. And the governments could use this as an opportunity to usurp power and control. And I talked about that in the first few videos I did on the cerveza sickness. Back then, this was considered a complete conspiracy theory. In fact, even the people in the comments that were subscribers to my channel, oh, George, this is tinfoil hat. Oh, you and Alex Jones and blah, 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 blah. You know, and what happened? See, and it's not just that. It's look at the lab leak deal. Like, I didn't really even talk about that too much, but others did, like my good friend Chris Martinson. Or Brett Weinstein and many others. And this was quote unquote misinformation. Turns out to be true. Right? Remember when we were talking? I mean, I remember Dave Rubin got booted off of Twitter for saying that we would most likely have a lot of boosters, like these boosters are never gonna end. That turned out to be true. Remember, we came out and said, oh, okay, once we do the medicines, I almost guarantee you they're going to come out and they're going to make it mandatory. And then Joe Biden comes out, remember, in December of 2020 and says, nope, not going to happen. That will never happen in the United States. We will never have mandates in the United States. So I think Senator Simons has to be completely oblivious to all of this. And it has to be intentional, because she can't be oblivious to it. She has to. It has to just go in one ear and out the other. It's not like she hasn't read the stories that have proven this to be true. I mean, Hunter Biden thing. I mean, that's another. It's got to be this selective amnesia, that this cognitive dissonance that just allows her to omit certain things from her memory as though they didn't even occur, because it doesn't fit her worldview and it doesn't fit her narrative. And then you combine this with just not researching anything. Maybe she doesn't want to. Maybe she's scared of what she's going to find. And maybe that goes back to this cognitive dissonance. And that goes back to this original worldview that governments are benevolent and they're there just to help people. And maybe that's why she got into politics in the first place. Problem is that if the global elite, the Klaus Schwab types, the authoritarians and the central planners, the problem is if they have these objectives, which I think they do, they know this. They know this. And they take advantage of this. They take advantage of this psychological phenomenon with people like Senator Simons. And I don't know how you could wake this gal up. She goes on to talk about how as an example of this, you know, these crazy conspiracy theories, that the politicians in Canada are just doing the bidding of the World Economic Forum and the World Health Organization. And it's like, no, okay, maybe doing the bidding is a little bit strong, but could Senator Simons, how could she say that they're not influenced at all by the World Health Organization? How could you even, every single thing that you've done, you say that you're doing this because the World Health Organization has said that we need to do X, Y, and Z. Like, she's just assuming that those people, the Klaus Schwab types, maybe are exactly like her. And that she has good intentions. She wants what's best for the public at large. Therefore, Klaus must as well, because he's a part of the global elite, like I am. You know, it's got to be something like that. And then what's bizarre is she can't connect the dots as to why people don't trust the government. When she, I don't know if you guys caught that, in the middle of this clip, she was saying that all of this misinformation is what leads to the distrust in the politicians. No. Not at all. Let's back up here, Senator Simons. What happens is, and I actually wrote another feedback loop, is it starts with the World Health Organization feeding all of the, what is originally, we'll call it information, to the politicians. Then the politicians create policies based on this, at least this is their claim, and then they force the people to basically adopt the policies that the WHO has suggested, or in the United States, you guys know who I'm talking about, Voldemort, or the CDC. And then the people go out there and do their own research, real research. And they listen to people like Brett Weinstein and Chris Martinson. And then when they do real research, and then they even go to the CDC's website like I have, and I've just read what they say. And when they do the research, they look at what the WHO and Voldemort is saying and like, wait a minute, this doesn't make any sense. This doesn't make any sense at all. You guys know back when they first came out with the mandates, and I was really pushing back against that. Remember when they had the mandates in New York City as an example, and they didn't make an exception for people who had had the cervasive sickness in the past? I said, this makes absolutely no sense, because if you read the data, it's the same. It's whether you've had the cervasive sickness or have had the medicine, the benefit, the perceived benefit, is almost identical. So why are you forcing people, or why are you not even acknowledging natural immunity? And I said, that's the first red flag. That's how you know that this is BS. That's how you know there's an alternative agenda, let's say, or objective. Because they're not even acknowledging that the basic, quote-unquote, science. And so that's a great example of you stumbling across something like natural immunity and saying, wait a minute, they're not even talking about this. And then that leads to distrust. You look at the let's say, the authoritarians, the central planners, WHO, CDC, whatever you want to call it, and that you distrust them. And then you look at the politicians who are carrying out what they claim to be truth, but you know is complete BS, and then you distrust the politicians. And then the politicians, like Senator Simons, are completely oblivious to that because of their worldview. So they think the distrust comes from misinformation instead of understanding that the distrust comes from doing the research yourself, organizing all the facts, using critical thinking, and understanding that what the central planners are spewing is complete nonsense. But Senator Simons doesn't even know that because she hasn't done the research herself. This is it's like a psychological puzzle that it's like a comedy of errors almost. That how could people that, like this gal, that are most likely have good intentions, speaks very well, obviously a very intelligent lady. How could she get to the point where she is being so oblivious and so obtuse? And there's so many steps down that psychological path. And I think that's what's fascinating. But, you know, how do we use this in the future, like how can this be valuable? And it's just to remind us how important it is to be as objective as possible and to be as skeptical, not just of the politicians, but the media. Be skeptical of everything, even if it's coming from someone that you trust. Be skeptical of what I'm saying. For heaven's sakes, I am by no means saying that you should trust me implicitly. No way. Or anyone else that you listen to their podcast or their YouTube videos or whatever, or you know, a paper that you read. Don't trust anybody. Be completely skeptical, but use your own sense of critical thinking and try to source as much or use as many sources as you possibly can. So use the Voldemorts, use the central planners, use all of that information. Don't ignore it. No. Read it. Listen to what the Senator Simons are saying. Listen to what the Klauses are saying. Listen to what the Benioffs are saying. Absolutely. And then listen to what other people are saying. And then use your own brain to distill down what you believe to be true based on the probabilities. But always look yourself in the mirror and remind yourself that you're human. And you have these tendencies towards selective amnesia, let's call it. You have a tendency towards your own narrative, whatever it may be, and just try to poke holes in your own theory at all times and try to use, I guess, the quote-unquote scientific process. But then understand that there are people, and I think more and more and more people in the media and in politics, like Senator Simons, that are the useful idiots. And that in and of itself is dangerous. Although her intentions obviously aren't dangerous, her actions are. And she doesn't understand why. And she never will, because she just refuses to read history. You know, what do you think Senator Simons would have said about the medicine mandate with the Supreme Court? It was Jacobson versus Massachusetts in 1905. If someone would have said that this is going to lead to eugenics, this is going to lead to a legalizing of eugenics. You know, Senator Simons back then would have said the exact same things, because she doesn't understand the slippery slope of giving government power and control. Most likely, again, because she hasn't read history. But we know, because we've studied history, that, and we probably would have known this back in 1905 as well, because it's not like what is happening with human beings today is unique. What's happening to human beings and what human beings are doing today is what human beings have done 100 years ago, 500 years ago, 1,000 years ago, 5,000 years ago. We're hardwired. It is what it is. So my point is, even back in 1905, the rebel capitalists of the day probably looked at that 1905 Supreme Court decision and said, wait a minute, no. This is horrible. This could lead to some very, very bad things. If we are giving the government the power and the control to do this, we don't know what, but it puts us on a very slippery slope. And those rebel capitalists would have been spot on, because we know in 1927, that's when the Supreme Court basically legalized eugenics and forced sterilization. And they did so based on the decision from 1905. And again, that's what makes Senator Simons dangerous. It's not her intentions, I don't think. It's the results of her actions that have good intentions. And I guess that's why they have the saying. That's where the saying comes from: the road to hell was paved with good intentions. All right, guys, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. As always, make sure that you're standing up for freedom, liberty, free market capitalism, and critical thinking. We'll see you on the next video.